They were just going about their business, right? Doing things that shepherds do. And then all of a sudden, the glory lights up. And they get this divine invitation to go to Bethlehem and see this babe lying in the manger. And then they go. And they get there. What do you think they were thinking? What do you think they were thinking?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Galais, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, the Shepherds. So let's join Dr. Galais for the first half of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, the Shepherds.
There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Christmas story. Lord, as we have the opportunity this year and every year to reflect on this great event. And Lord, I pray today that you would allow me to hide behind the cross. And Father, that you would have a message that would burn in the hearts of your people. Lord, that you would challenge us today from your word. And Lord, that we might do some deep thinking, that we might ponder these great truths that we will look at today, and Lord, that it would affect our heart for time and eternity. As we open the word, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, at your table, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Deep thoughts on a holy night. Last week, we looked at Joseph, and we were challenged with the thought, what is God doing? What is God doing? Today, we're looking at the shepherds, and the thought that we want to meditate on today is, why did God choose shepherds? You know, why did God choose shepherds? Or the question that the shepherds might have asked, why did God choose us? The third week of Advent, we're going to look at the angels. And the listener's thoughts, we have an important message from the Lord. And then the last Sunday of Advent, one that I'm looking forward to, is Mary. And the thoughts would be, this is beyond my comprehension. The Bible says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. And I tell you what, Mary was a virgin who I'm sure has some deep thinking. I mean, when it says that she pondered these things in her heart. So I'm sure that there was some deep thinking that was going on in the heart of Mary. But today, our objective is to look at these shepherds. And so as we look at the shepherds, I wanted to begin by giving us maybe a sample in the life of the day of a shepherd, the duties of a shepherd. You know, we're going to look at these individuals. And I went through scripture and I pulled some things together to give us an idea of what it would have been like back in this day to be a shepherd. So the first thing that we see, in the morning, the shepherd led the flock from the fold. A lot of times they would have a gate or a little holding area where the sheep would be held. And so what the shepherd would do, the first thing as he rose, according to John chapter 10 and verse 3, he would lead the flock, you know, out of the sheepfold. And then, according to Psalm 23, we all know this verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. So one of the things that the shepherd would do is that the shepherd would take the sheep to a place where they could graze and where they could drink water. And I like that Psalm 23 because, when we preach through the 23rd Psalm, we let you know that sheep will not drink from a river, right? You know, they have to be led beside what? Still waters. And so the shepherd had to find that watering hole for the sheep. And then he led the flock throughout the day. Sometimes if it got a little hot, if it was a little heated, then the shepherd would lead the sheep to a cool place or to a place where they could be relaxed and where they could have that freedom to just, as we would say, unwind. And then the shepherd watched over the flock. Why? Because there were many adversaries that would try to get after the sheep. You know, I like in the 23rd Psalm, you know, where it talks about he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And the idea here is that the shepherd would lead the sheep, you know, to a grazing place. And if you could imagine up in the mountains, there are coyotes and there are wolves. And we see in California last week that there was actually a mountain lion that came down and was attacking people's pets. So, you know, you can imagine that all these enemies of the sheep, right, are up in the mountains, and they are just waiting for the opportunity to pounce on the sheep, but they'll never have the opportunity. Why? Because the shepherd is there, and the shepherd never leaves. As long as the sheep see the shepherd with his rod and his staff, they know that they are safe. And then he restored the wandering sheep. That sometimes sheep would wander off. And we, if you had the opportunity to watch the message that I preached on Cornerstone that night on salvation, I talked about the 23rd Psalm, and we talked about how sometimes sheep would get cast, right? And they would wander off, and maybe their wool got a little too heavy, or maybe they wandered off and fell in the ditch, and they would be lying on their side and couldn't get up. And the shepherd would have to do what? The shepherd would have to come, and he would have to set them back upright again. He restores my soul. And so one of the jobs of the shepherd was to look for the wandering sheep. And then at the end of the day, the shepherd would lead the flock back into the fold. And that's when Jesus said that I am the door of the sheep. You know, they come in and out by me. And so the shepherd would lead the sheep back into the fold. And then the shepherd would watch over the sheep at night. And so we see that the shepherds had an awesome job. And they would stay busy all the time. And so if you can imagine them doing this in the routine of the day. And then all of a sudden, they get a divine invitation. Just out of the blue. Just out of them watching the flock, just out of them doing their job, they get a divine invitation in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The shepherds, can you imagine? Have you ever got an unexpected invitation? you know, just an invitation that just blew your socks off. That you know, you weren't expecting it at all. You opened it up and you got this invitation and you were like, wow. That was what happened to these shepherds. Just think, going about in their normal routine, just what I showed you, just going about their normal day, and then all of a sudden, the postman comes, and the postman drops off an envelope, and they open the envelope, and it's angels that start, and we can get into the controversy of whether angels sing or not, but we're not going to deal with that this morning, but it says the angels were saying, and invited them to come and see the Christ child. And at first, they were fearful, but the angel calmed their fears and let them know everything is all right. And they might have been a little bit surprised at this invitation, because in this invitation, if you'll go to that next slide, in this invitation, shepherds dealt with two issues, right? There was the religious issue, and then there was the social issue. So that they might have wondered, as we think about these deep thoughts on a holy night, you know, they might have wondered, why did we get this invitation? You know, what was in us to deserve this invitation? First of all, they were religiously unclean. Well, what does that mean? That means because and you know, this whole service have been setting this message up, right? Because we've been talking about this the whole service, you know, with the singing, the songs, and the readings, and the fact that shepherds, you know, they touched blood, which made them unclean. Now, one of the things that they had to clean up after the sheep, right? So they had to deal with the cleanup. So that made them unclean. And so a lot of times, you know, the priests didn't want to have anything to do with shepherds because they were unclean. They were unaccepted as far as their ceremonies were concerned. And then the other thing is that shepherds were social outcasts. They mainly stayed out in the fields. You know, remember, we looked at it, they opened the fold for the sheep to come out, and they stayed with the sheep all day, and then they put the sheep back in the fold at night, and then they watched over them all night long. And so they had very little time to be socially active. The second thing that we see, and some of us might say, well, see, I can see why they were social outcasts. Right, because very seldom did they take a bath, and so oftentimes the shepherds had a odor, not only from being around the sheep, but from not bathing. And so, you know, they might not have been a group of individuals that people were flocking to be around. And then they were considered unreliable witnesses. That in a court of law, you couldn't call a shepherd. For some reason, as you look back at history, many thought that the shepherds were unreliable, and so they would be unreliable witnesses. So we ask the question, why the shepherds? Why the shepherds? I've written a poem, and actually this poem is in one of the Christmas cards that we have for this year, but the title of the poem is Why the Shepherds. An angel appeared to shepherds as they watched their flocks by night. In an instant, they became terrified when they saw the heavenly light. But something most excellent happened that turned their fear into mirth. They were the first to hear the angelic announcement of the dear Savior's birth. "Fear not," said the angel, "for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For this night in the city of David is born God's son and Mary's baby boy." They made haste to see the babe bundled in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. no doubt thinking to themselves, who is this stupendous stranger? But why not appear to a prince, a potentate, a emperor, or a king? Why do simple men in the field this good news from heaven bring? Shepherds were outcasts, outsiders who were often segregated. They were recluse and smelly, and many quite uneducated. They were deemed as deplorables who could not be trusted. They left the elite of this world feeling appalled and disgusted. Yet Almighty God in his sovereignty did choose shepherds in the field that night to bear the good news. Why? Why the shepherds? The shepherds must have been humbled because they were in good company. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord, in Luke 2:9, that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And think of some of the other places in the Bible where the glory of God was manifested. It was manifested at Mount Sinai when Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God. It says that the glory of the Lord shone. When they completed the tabernacle, it said that the Shekinah came down and that the glory rested upon the tabernacle. In the temple, when Solomon finished building the temple, it says that the glory of the Lord came down and rested upon the temple. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus appeared with Elijah and Moses, it says that the glory came down. Can you imagine to be among this elite group in the Bible where it says that the glory came down? You know, I often think of, you know, what does it mean? Glory. And I think about it in two senses. The first sense I like to think about it, and I liken them to this. Just imagine a team that has just won a championship. You know, we can say the Super Bowl. Say a team just has won the Super Bowl. And all the attention and all the lights that come upon them. And then even within the next couple days, they'll have a parade. And they'll ride on, you know, the floats, and they'll ride on vehicles, and everybody will be looking at them, and everybody will be giving their attention to them. And sad to say, that some people will even give their hearts in worship over to them. And so when you think about the glory of the Lord, that's an earthly illustration. But what it means is that something happens that's shining all the attention, that's shining all the light upon this one event. And here were these shepherds in the field, and all of a sudden, this glory came down. This light from heaven came down, and they were amazed. And can you imagine what they must have thought? The glory of the Lord. And I don't know how theologically educated they would have been to go back and think about all those places in the Old Testament where the glory came down, but this could very well be a deep thought on a holy night. Man, what does this mean that this glory has come down and shone around us? That it causes you to just stop in your tracks. And just begin to think, man, what in the world is going on here? What is happening here that everything is lit up? And so it must have humbled them as they thought about the fact that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. As we continue to look at maybe some of the deep thoughts that the shepherds were looking at, we see the shepherds must have thought, wow! Wow! I remember back when I was in seminary, and you know, I would teach and preach the Bible, you know, anywhere I could. I mean, you know, people, you know, a lot of preachers, they want to step right into the pulpit. You know how I got my start? You know, I got my start teaching Friday night Bible studies to five people. You know, I got my start driving an hour on Wednesday night to teach a small group of people the Bible. And me and Pastor McFarland, we would go and we would teach these Bible studies. And man, we were just excited, man. I would study hard for these five people on Friday night. You know, sometimes we might get a little bit more. I would study hard for these people on Wednesday just to preach the word of God. And I remember one night, Pastor McFarlane and I, we were driving down to Brookneal, Virginia to teach a Wednesday night Bible study. And I said, "Wow, preacher!" And he got kind of shocked. He said, "What?" I said, "Man, just think. One day we're going to get paid for doing this." Right? I mean, I was doing it for nothing then. I mean, I loved it. And I love it now. But I said, just think, man, wow! One day we're going to get paid for doing this. And can you imagine the shepherds? They must have thought, wow! Why did God choose us? Why did God choose us to be the first to hear about the birth of the Messiah? Wow! Why did God choose us, other than Mary and Joseph, to be the first to see the Messiah? And wow! Why did God choose us to be the first to go and tell other people that the Messiah was born? God stepped out of heaven and God became a baby, and it was announced not to kings, not to potentates, not to priests, not to scribes, not to Pharisees, but it was announced to stinking shepherds to do this. And man, I'm going to say some things in here in a second, but when we think about who we are no better than the shepherds. In the sight of God, it says that all of our righteousness is like a filthy rag. And so we are no better than the shepherds, but yet and still, God chose us to be his messenger. God chose us to carry his word, deep thoughts on a holy night. If you go to that next slide, the awe. That when they finally got there and they looked and they saw this baby, the awe. They were just going about their business, right? Doing things that shepherds do. And then all of a sudden, the glory lights up. And they get this divine invitation to go to Bethlehem and see this babe lying in the manger. And then they go. And they get there. What do you think they were thinking? What do you think they were thinking? These angels just show up and start proclaiming out in the field while we're out there by night? And then they just tell us to go, and that we go and we come to and they went to the exact place where they were supposed to go. And as they're there, they see this baby who the angels proclaimed. And now they're standing there. Yeah, have you ever been to someplace famous? I remember when my kids were growing up, we went to Niagara Falls. And I remember just when we got to the falls, just standing there and just being in awe of Niagara Falls and all that Niagara Falls represented. And believing that, man, I'm here. I heard about this place for a long time, but now I'm here.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds, and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.